2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to begin with verse number 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you would, just as we reverence the Word of God together, stand. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pause again this morning, thanking You for another day of blessings, another opportunity that we have to be in Your house, to lift up praises to Your name. Lord, to even share special prayer requests. Lord, we come this morning again with special needs upon our hearts, and Lord, You know all of them today. We will not rename them. But Lord, we ask this morning for Your Spirit to find freedom in this place. Help us to take the Word of God, apply it to our life today. Lord, I just thank You again for the opportunity that we have one more time to open the Scriptures. Help us to understand it better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I failed to mention as we were giving prayer requests that remember Brother Jerry and Sister Kim will be leaving in the morning, going back to Romania. We want to pray for their safety, pray for the girls that are will be here as well. All right. I think Alzheimer's would probably be the hardest disease to have. I don't know if it's harder on the person that has it as it is on the family. We've seen it in our family. We've seen it with close friends of ours. And I know it's a sad thing. And I'm thankful for a grandfather that's 98 years old who still has a good mind that can relive stories to you and tell you things that took place. And so far, I've been able to remember things, and my parents have as well. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is not Alzheimer's, not a problem with the mind with Alzheimer's, but a problem with the mind concerning the devil. Now, I've entitled the message this morning, Have You Lost Your Mind? I want you to think about that for a minute. Have you lost your mind? When you read the Scriptures, there is more said about how that the devil attacks the mind, and there's more said about how a Christian uses his mind in living for God than almost anything else in the Bible. And here, the Apostle Paul is writing, and look how he writes this in verse number 5. Let me read this to you again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What you and I have to know before we ever even get into the message today, anything that goes against God's Word, anything that goes against God's Word is of the devil. I mean, it's that cut and dry today. Anything that's against God's Word is of the devil. And Paul is trying to get this church at Corinth to understand that you've got to put everything to the knowledge of God. You've got to say, this is what God knows. Now, what does this mean? And he says this in the rest of this verse. In bringing into captivity every thought. Let me ask you a question. You ever had stray thoughts? We talked about this once before. You ever been sitting there and just a thought pop in your mind that you know shouldn't be there? You think the devil's behind that, or God? We know that God cannot tempt man with evil. So if you're having an evil thought today, or an evil thought just pops in your mind today, you've got to understand that's from the devil. And what Paul is challenging the church to do is every single thought in your life, you're to bring into captivity. You are to take that thought, and you are to dissect that thought, and you are to make sure, is that thought of God, or is that thought of the devil? I'm afraid that we don't take too much of our thinking seriously. He's just thinking crazy for a minute. We've got to realize the dangers of this. That's what I want to show you today. Now, he said this, and bring them to the obedience of Christ. You want God's will to be done in every single thing that's going through your mind. You want God's will. And Christ has to be considered in every single thought. Now, let me give you five things this morning. And these five things I'm not going to take a lot of time with. I'm going to more or less talk about how that you control your thinking and what you're to do to get a control of that and how you watch over it. But I want you to understand today that the devil, I believe, I wrote down five things that I think how he attacks God's people. I'm talking to saved people today. The devil can't take your salvation, but he can take your life. And I want you to know today how the devil gets your life is through your mind. If the devil can get your mind, he will get your life. But I want to reassure you today that the devil cannot take our salvation. If he can take my salvation, that makes him stronger than God. Right? John 10:28 says, "No man can pluck you from the Father's hand." I believe that includes the devil this morning. That includes myself. A preacher, I've sinned so much that I've removed myself from God's hand. That makes you stronger than God. Nobody in this building is stronger than God. So when we're talking about the devil taking your life, I want you to know that he's after your life as a testimony, as a witness, and he can make your life unfruitful. There's nothing any more useless to me, and I can't think of any better terminology, than a Christian that's bearing no fruit. In the book of John, he gives us the example of the vine and the branches. He lets us know that he's the vine, and we're the branches. And the branches that produce no fruit, what? Does he hew them down, he says? Absolutely. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I know this goes out over the internet, I know it's going to go in your brain, it's going to go home to the lunch table today. Let me make this statement very clear. I believe that there is such thing as a sin unto death. I didn't say the unpardonable sin. I believe that's as well. But the sin unto death is for Christians who get out of God's will and get in God's way, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to remove you from this sin." Now, I want you all to think about that today. For some reason, Baptists have came up with this conclusion that we have a free ticket to sin. And we can do whatever we want to do because we have security. We're crazy today. We go out there and do whatever we want to do, we're going to face the consequences. You know every sin has a consequence? Every single one of them. And we need to be rest assured today, if we are not being fruitful for God, then I believe God can remove us. That's a scary thing. I pray for my kids every day. Rochelle and I are getting to that point in our life now. Josh is 22 or soon to be, and Sarah's 18, going to be 19. And I know Josh has already left home, and I know that Sarah's fixing to go to college, and I know they're going to be responsible for going to church on their own. Beverly, that's hard on me. It's frustrating. Josh's not here this morning, but I promise he's in church, or I'm going to find out why. And I'm assuming when he's 50 and I'm still alive, I'm still going to be meddling in his business because I'm afraid if my son gets out of church, what God might do to him. Preacher, that's a little strong. I believe that kind of stuff. I believe that God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be dedicated. He wants us to be used. And I fear for my children if they ever get to the point that they think that I don't need church that much. Because I know they're accountable to God. And I don't want them to see I don't want them in trouble with God like I've been in trouble with God. Let me ask some of you parents to be honest with me. Has any of you parents ever been in trouble with God? Boy, I have. Thank you, Rodney. Danny has been. I have a couple more been in trouble with God. The rest of you have lived this good clean Christian life. That's wonderful. Some of the rest of us haven't been so good. And I know when God gives you a whooping, it's a reality check. I don't want my kids to go through that. I want them to be spared from that. So I try to encourage them to be faithful. And I believe this is for all Christians. So I hope you understand today, if the devil can control your mind, he can control you. But let me tell you five things how he attacks your mind. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he talks about the fiery darts. Y'all remember that scripture? I believe the fiery darts are shot toward our brain, toward our thinking. I think the devil wants to get right up here and mess with your nice thinking. I believe a lot of times when the scripture's talking about as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The thinking in your heart is talking about the thinking of your mind. So I want you to see five things. Write these down and see if these are not realities in your life. The number one thing I think that the devil attacks Christians with is worry. What do y'all think about that? You think he attacks with worry? This is what I've come up with, the conclusion that worry is. I had to write this down because I thought, you know what? That's pretty good, Steve. That is exactly what worry is. Worry is a lack of faith in God. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. I sat down, write my notes down this week, and I thought, really? I've preached about worry 1,000 times at Mount Hebron. And you know, it don't really seem like it ever clicks. What is really worry? And the bottom line is, worry is a lack of faith in God. You don't believe God can do what He says He can do, or you wouldn't be worrying about it. Rochelle was reading her Sunday school lesson to me last night, and one of the statements in the Sunday school lesson was that you practice as much Bible as you believe. I've heard that before. Have you all? Didn't I say that once or twice or 10 times? Listen to me today. If you're sitting here and you're worried about your marriage, you're worried about your finances, you're worried about your children, you're worried about your health, you're worried about all these things, let me tell you something. You're not trusting God enough. Because He told you in the book of Matthew that He took care of the lilies of the field and the fowl of the air, and you're more important than they are. He's got us covered, don't He, Miss Dixie? We're His. He'll take care of us. What are we worried about? Well, preacher, I don't know that God knows about the economy. That's a good one. Y'all think about that one on the way home. I don't think God knows about the cancer that's growing in my body. Think about that one too on the way home. If He knows a hair of your head, and He said their number, and He knows when one sparrow falls from the sky, I promise you, He knows what's growing in your body right now. He knows what your kids are doing. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're thinking. Amen? So what are we worried about? Number two, anger. And I'm not going to tell you we all need to take an anger management class, okay? But I want to talk about a certain kind of anger. Unresolved anger. I've shared with you 1,000 times about my anger. If I'm using a hammer and I'm working on something and it's not going just right, I can tell you what's going to happen to that hammer. I'm going to throw that hammer. I'm going to sling it. Chunk it, however you look at it. Something's going to get thrown. But you know what? After I walk over and pick the hammer up, I'm back good again. That anger's controlled, finished, done, gone. Unresolved anger. That's that anger you've had for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. That anger you keep building up inside of you. That anger causes bitterness. That anger causes strife. That anger causes all kinds of things in your life. Unresolved anger is very big in our lives. We're the biggest people in the world about holding grudges. You know that? I want to tell you what I loved about beliefs. Maria's here, I know somewhere. There she is. Beliefs, those people, they could get stirred up in emotions immediately. Boom. Drop of a hat. Throwing rocks. It's really neat to think, why does people throw rocks? Well, they're handy. You know? Had a bus strike one time and there's people with M16s, you know? And the Belizean people, they picking up rocks and bombing the guy with the gun. That makes no sense to me, but you know, it's handy. Let's throw a rock. But what I noticed about down there was, I seen this. I seen them fight, holler, scream, throw rocks, and the next day they're eating together. Get over it. Boy, we don't in America. We still got unresolved issues in this country that goes all the way back to the Civil War. Ah, preacher, don't bring that stuff up here at Garrett County now. I done brought it up. Listen, there ain't a person in this building today that ever owned a slave. Nor did your daddies, probably. Some of you are pretty old, but I'm going to doubt your daddies ever owned any slaves. Most of the people that's running around the country today, pitching a fence, stomping and snorting, have never been in slavery or have never owned a slave. But we still keep having this old battle, keeps coming back up, coming back up, coming back up. I want you to know, Christians, y'all hear me? Christians don't act like that. We're supposed to love our enemies. Calm down, preacher. Ben, you're liking this, ain't you, brother? Scared to death up here. Y'all be afraid of him. He's about to jump up with a spear and start running around. He's from Africa. You don't know what these people will do. You know, we got to change. We got to realize that unresolved anger does nothing but make problems. And it's not of God. In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, let me ask you this. How many of you have prayed today? Just curious, raise your hand. You prayed today. What's wrong with you all over there? Don't y'all pray? Y'all need to start praying. This is almost 20 to 11. Y'all ain't prayed yet. Well, pray. The Bible said before I go to God in prayer and I have an unresolved issue with somebody, you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to make that right. I'm telling you today, if you've got anger against somebody and you've had it for a while and you prayed today, it never got out of this building. I'll debate you on that, preacher. That's fine. Go to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, and study that. It'll tell you. You've got to go to them first and get that right. The Bible says in Psalm, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. Unresolved anger is sin. This is the only group that agrees with me today over here. This group don't pray and this group agrees. What about you all? What do you think? You think unresolved anger is sin? I think it is. Number three, this is mine. This is where the devil attacks me. Discouragement. Discouragement. How many of you ever get discouraged? We all get discouraged if you be honest with me today. Discouragement's how the devil attacks me. And I wrote down a couple things how he does with me. Because he makes me feel like I'm failing. I'm so competitive. And I've got to so much see results that when I go out and I start trying to do things for God and I'm not seeing the results, then I feel like I'm failing. Every time I preach a message and nobody comes forward, I feel like, well, that's a failure. Well, that flopped. And if it happens two or three weeks in a row, and I think, man, I must be the biggest failure to ever hit Mount Hebron Baptist Church. I probably ought to start packing up and getting out of town. I really get discouraged when I don't see results. And we all do that. I'm going to tell you what's got people. People are so discouraged today about the economy. They're so discouraged today about all kinds of things. Life in general, right? Just life in general. College. What am I going to do? A lot of people coming out of college and they're not finding jobs. Everybody's discouraged about this. Everybody's discouraged about that. Discouragement is what the devil uses. The fourth thing was lust. What is lust? Well, this is why I put lust. It's the passions of the mind. What you dream up in your head. I guarantee if we could go back 4,000 years ago and we could walk up the steps with David up onto his roof and he caught Bathsheba bathing, I guarantee the thoughts in his mind were not good. The passions of his mind began to run. And I want you to know, men, if you're ever out and you see a woman and she looks attractive to you, and you say, you know what, I'm a man and that doesn't matter, I want you to know that's bad thinking. I want you to know the devil just wants to get a little bitty thought going on up there. Passionate thinking, lustful thinking, leads to lustful living. Most of the time, I'm going to say more times than not, what a man starts thinking, he begins to do. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, it might just be a book, or it might just be a little pornography on the internet. Or it might just be a friendly person at work. But I guarantee if you let your mind begin to work on that, it's going to lead you to things that you don't need to be doing. And it all starts with the thinking. The passions of the mind. Lust. And number five, discontentment. Just plain old not satisfied. I'm going to guarantee in this building right here today, that this is almost 100% of us, at some time or another, has discontentment. We're not happy about the way work's going. We're not happy about how the farm's going. We're not happy about how the kids are doing. We're not happy with the way we look. I need to lose weight. I need to cut my hair. I need to put some color on my hair. We're discontented. God messed up when He made us. That's why He made all the stuff to fix it back up. Right? That's meddling right in the middle of it. Just meddling, stirring. You know what? The Bible tells us that we need to be content with one thing that should make us completely content. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Because of that one thing the Scriptures teaches me, I'm supposed to be content. How many of you are content this morning? Preacher, perfectly fine, contented. Don't need nothing. Discontentment is a very big deal. Well, let me show you the message today. What? Somebody said, I heard a deep sigh. Ah, what was that all about? Well, I told you that I'm not going to dwell that much on why the devil uses to attack us. I think it's more important you know how to defend yourself. Because if you read Ephesians 6, the fiery darts are attacking us, but we can defend that. We can fight off that. You know the bad thoughts that's coming to your mind, you can get rid of that? Did you know that you need to confess the bad thoughts in your mind? But you didn't know that one, did you? Let's read a few things this morning. How do you take control of your mind? How do you control your thinking? How can I get control of my mind? The mind is so amazing. They just continue to teach us that everything that's ever went in there is still in there. All we got to do is be able to push the buttons to get it back out. Every one of us has got a photographic memory. Every single one of us. Have you been around people that can just look at something and they just got it? Just got it? We got a boy at school. I think he has, I don't know what that, what's the disease? Autism. He's at the Bible school. Whatever the preacher reads from the pulpit, he can quote it. He can quote it, Greg. The other day, We read Ephesians, the second chapter, and every verse in it. Just playing with me. He quoted every verse. Just don't even take a breath. Just quoting them. And I walk out of there just frustrated. I can't remember my phone number. I do not know the parsonage phone number. I have to look on my cell phone to find out what the parsonage phone number is so I can give it to somebody. I don't know my phone number. This kid can quote Scripture like that. It just frustrates me. And then somebody tells me, oh, you could do that too. You just want to hit them. If you didn't have unresolved anger, you probably would have. But I want you to know today that it's probably true. Every one of us probably have it right here. We just don't have the capability to kicking it back out. Danny can do phone numbers like that. It frustrates me. I can't tell my own. He can tell me mine. Parsonage phone number. Cell phone number. That's my cell phone number. Ain't that good? Well, he calls you a lot. I call him he's better than 411. But he's got it. But you know what? We all can. I think the mind is something you and I have to learn to control. We got to learn to control this. Now, wait a minute. You're teaching self-control. No, I'm not. I'm going to teach you that through the Word of God, God can help us control our thinking to where we won't get ourselves in trouble. Let me give you three or four things very quickly. Number one, pray. So I'm going to give you a specific way to pray. Go with me to Psalms. Now this is for this side over here that don't pray, okay? Y'all turn to Psalms with me over there. Psalms 19. Let me tell you something about praying. I want you to pray this way from now on. I don't challenge you in a lot of things, and I don't tell you exactly how to pray. God gave us a model prayer. Christ gave us the model. He said, this is when you pray, pray this way. Make sure you include those things. I think as long as we've included those things, our prayers are right. I don't think unless you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your prayers are going to get heard. That's the only way we can pray today. It's through Him. It's the only way we can approach God's throne. It's through Christ. But let me take you to verse 14 of Psalms 19, and let me get you to include this in your prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You ever pray that, Lord, keep those bad thoughts out of my head. Lord, help me not to think evil. Help me not to think wrong. How many of you, sometime in the day, have a bad thought? I'll give you an illustration. Maybe you don't have a bad thought. Let me give you what a bad thought might be. You're driving up 27 toward Nicholsville, and somebody cuts you off. If you didn't say praise the Lord and thank you, you probably had a bad thought. Now, preacher, I don't think God's dealing with anything that minute. Oh, yes, He does. He don't want us to have any... Listen, anytime a Christian thinks about doing something to somebody else, that's not being a Christian. Anytime, sometimes I have bad days as a preacher. It happens. And I told Rochelle the other day, I said, you know what, I've been doing this for 26 years. I'm thinking about trying something different. We was over at the court in Boyle County, and I was watching the lawyers coming in. And I said, you know what, I think I'd like to be a lawyer. Maybe you can show me the right ropes, John, and help me get figured out what I got to do. Can you do like a 30-day class and become a lawyer? I don't want to do no long school and stuff. I just want to jump in and start doing lawyer stuff. If I ever had the thoughts of quitting, you think your pastor's ever had the thoughts of quitting? I have. sure I have. And I want you to know that makes me sick to think that. That God has called me to do something, that God has picked me to do something, and I don't take it any more serious than that, and I just thought about quitting. But I want you to know that you probably had thoughts, I'm not going to go to church tonight. I can miss tonight. You know what a good thought to have? Let me tell you the second thing you need to do. Confess. Now, let me tell you about confessing. I want you to see something different about confessing today. I believe that we need to confess our bad thoughts. I've been thinking about this lately. I usually confess my sins. But what's up here, if it never went into actions, I feel like it's probably not a sin yet. But I've been reading over in the book of Matthew a little bit. And Christ was dealing with this kind of thing. You know what Christ said? If you thought about committing adultery, you've done committed adultery. Christ said that. So Rick, I'm assuming that I need to be confessing these bad thoughts too. Sometimes I neglect the bad thought confess, and I confess those sins. Lord, forgive me for being mean to my wife. Lord, forgive me for thinking that about Brother Patrick. Lord, forgive me whatever it is that I've done. But I don't ever think about, Lord, forgive me of that thought that I thought about Brother Rick yesterday. But I really believe that we need to be thinking about that. We've got a lot of sin in our life, and if it's starting up in our brain, that's where we need to start confessing it from. Lord, clean this up. Get this out of my life. Number three, I put saturate. Let me finish that statement. You need to saturate your mind with something. Go to the book of Psalms 119. I'm getting close to the end. Psalms 119. Verse 11 says, you know verse 11, but let's read it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Let me say something about saturating your mind with the Bible. I've been doing this a little bit lately. You can go on the internet, and you can get the Bible where somebody just reads it. And I did this last night. I've been doing this a little bit lately. I've been going to bed with headphones on my head, just listening to Scripture. Just putting it on my head and just listening to Scripture. Just listening to the Bible. I'm resting better. My thinking's been a little bit different. Here's what I'm finding out in my personal life. You may not go through anything like this, but I'm going to tell you about my personal life. If I'm not thinking about the Bible, I'm thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about, probably. Well, preacher, you just can't walk around thinking about the Bible. Good grief. Why not? Why not? Why can't a person's mind and thoughts and thinking be full of the Word of God and Scripture coming to your mind? And every, what is wrong with that? Because this is what I'm finding out. If the Bible's not going in your brain, something's going in there. 4 or 6 hours of TV's going in there. Where do these kids pick up these dirty words at? I love it when parents say, they never heard it from me. I don't know why he said that. I don't know where she got that. I got a good idea. If they didn't hear it come from your mouth, they probably heard it from your television. Believe it or not, they do have TV shows that don't have dirty language in them. So I'm not telling you bring your TVs to church and we'll burn them all. I ain't say that, did it, Brother Paul? I got to watch a ball game after a while. A lot of preachers say, oh, let's burn the TVs. I'm not telling you burn the TVs. I'm saying let's control it a little better. Come on. It's facts. We've got to be careful what's getting in our brain. If the Word of God's not going in there, something is. Music. You know, music is a motivator. That's why the Scriptures, that's why you have the Psalms, because God knew that music motivated people. If you're not sure about that, read the Bible where Joshua and Moses coming off the mountain, Sinai. Joshua hears music. First, he thinks it's war because certain music means war. But then there's certain music for celebration. Everything motivates. Music motivates. What kind of music's going in your head? I know what kind's going in a lot of heads. Sexual music. That's why the world's gone sex crazy. It is. It's crazy. Well, I'm not going to preach about that kind of stuff, though, okay? Let me give you two more things. I really hope today that you'll start saturating your mind more with the Word of God. Here's the last two things. Number four, separate. Separate. You and I have got to separate ourselves from ungodly things. Go with me to Psalms 101. Psalms 101. Let me ask a personal question. Is there anything, are you around any ungodly things throughout the week? Do you think that has any effect on your life? You think ungodly things has an effect on your life? I'm going to tell you why divorce is so easy today. Y'all ready for this one? Preacher, we got divorced people here. Don't be talking about divorce. I'm going to talk about it till I'm dead. Because I'm against it 100%. Alright? We got couples fixing to get married. And if they've got any idea in their brain that divorce is an option, I don't want to be part of their wedding. And I'm going to talk to them about that before I ever do their wedding. You got your announcement already made. You got me preaching it. You better not have divorce as an option. I don't believe in prenuptial agreements, anything. That's just telling me your brain's already set in order. We're not going to be married very long, probably. I believe till death do us part. I believe that's God's plan. I think His plan's the best plan. But let me tell you why divorce is so prevalent today. Because we've got people who work with people who got better counsel than God's got. How many of you work with somebody that's divorced? There you go. Everybody does. Everybody does. So one person's having problems in the relationship, and then they start talking to people at work, and they say, listen, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like that. I got a good lawyer. Here's his name. I don't know if you get kickbacks for passing on the information or not. Well, it's out there for free. The Bible said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You need counsel from the Word of God, not from the man at work or the woman at work. Come on. Support me on this. Tell me that I'm not crazy. God has a way of helping and counseling if people's willing to try God. But you know what? We get so much ungodly counsel from the world today. They just convince us, hey, listen, I went through it, it's no big deal. I guarantee today, if you'll talk to divorced people in this church, they'll tell you it's a big deal. The ones I've talked to says it's a big deal. It's stressful. It's hard on you. Some of them thought they were going to die going through it. It's a real deal. Talk to their families and ask their families if it wasn't tough on them. If anybody's telling you at work today it ain't no big deal, they're lying to you. That's not the counsel of God. And I'm not going to preach about that kind of stuff, though, okay? Psalms 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I underline that in my Bible. If I expose myself to wickedness, what should I expect but wicked thinking and wicked living? When I was battling my deal with alcohol as a young teenage boy, I was fine until somebody popped one in front of me. And I could see it. And I didn't remember too many scriptures because I didn't pay too much attention at church. I knew I was saved, and that's just about all I knew. But I can remember this one scripture that kept sticking in my mind. I didn't know where it was at. But it said, abstain from all appearances of evil. How many's heard that before? I could hear that all the time. You know what? I got thinking, I better get away from this stuff. And I found out if I get away from this stuff, I didn't want it anymore. You've got to learn to separate yourself. Well, preacher, you know what? Me and this woman had an affair and I'm quitting. But every time I get around her, we work it back up again. Well, don't get around her. Me and my boyfriend, you know, you told me it's wrong to have sex before we're married, and my boyfriend and I get around, and you know, but before we know it, there we are, we're done in the bed again. Don't get around him then. He's probably not the right one for you. It's the truth. I want this church to be the most godly thinking people of anybody that I know of. I want us to have the right kind of thinking so that we can do the right kind of living in this community. As long as Christians are thinking otherwise, until we realize the devil is working right up here, then we're going to continue to lose this fight. Let me give you the last one. This is where I'll quit, I promise you. We've got to replace. We've got to pray, we've got to confess, we've got to saturate, we've got to separate, and we've got to replace. Remember a while ago I said if the Word of God's not going in here, something is? Well, listen, we've already got some stuff in here that shouldn't be in there. Right? Let me show you something in the book of Philippians. This is where I'm going to read you the last verse, and we'll give you an invitation today. I believe today, there's probably people in this building today who the devil is working on. I mean, he's probably got you believing so many lies today. He's probably telling you, you know what? Listen, he's telling you that a little alcohol ain't going to hurt you. He's telling you sex before you're getting married, they test drive cars, what's the difference? The devil's telling you all kinds of stuff like that. All kinds of lies. The devil's lying to you. He's lying to you. He's telling you to try this drug. What blows my mind? Y'all know what methamphetamines are, meth? I read the other day what it goes into making meth. It's like liquid Drano. It's like liquid fire. And it's a whole bunch of stuff we use to clean our toilets with. I want to know what dummy, when they were sitting around mixing up this stuff, decided, hey, let me try that. And then said, oh, this is wonderful. Give it to your friends and said, you try it. I'm telling you, stuff we clean our toilets with. Read what it takes to make this stuff. And if you see people that's on it, you'll never forget those people. Because it controls their life. And it all started with the thought, this will make me feel better. You know what? I'm going through a little time in my life and I just need to get away for a minute. You don't need to let that thinking go too far, because you'll find yourself in things you don't need to be involved in. In the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, in the eighth verse, this is what Paul says, and you've heard me read these before, but I want you to read them for yourself today. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, he says finally. I'm telling you, you've got to replace some thinking that you've got in your brain. Some of you have come to church this morning with the wrong thinking. You came here mad. You came here with hurt feelings. You came here with something on your brain today other than worshiping God. I promise you, there's some of us that's done that today. And Paul says, until you do this, you're never going to have peace. Because how many's ever heard of peace that passeth all understanding? You heard that? I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from thinking right. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, what sort of things are honest, what sort of things are just, what sort of things are pure. In other words, don't watch the news. Honest, just, pure. What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things have a good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. If you've got one negative thought today, you need to replace it with that right there. Verse number 8. You need to take your thinking and start replacing those bad thoughts with good thoughts. Is there any good? You sit and talk to people and say, oh, my life's horrible, my life's bad. Sit down and think about what you have for just a second. How bad is it really? Well, I don't have a job. I was talking to the guy the other day. He don't have a job. Everything's falling apart in their life. But then in the next breath he started telling me, but I'm saved. I've got healthy children. My wife's healthy. I guarantee if you start changing your thinking about how things are, you'll find out they're not as bad as you think they are. It's all about our thinking. We can convince ourselves about anything. Or we can convince ourselves about the right things. If your thinking's off this morning, I challenge you to get it back right. But I want you to go out here today knowing the devil is attacking your mind. And we've got to bring it into control so he can control us. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, I know this is not an evangelistic message today. Lord, I believe it's a message that's very needful for our day and time in which we're living. Lord, sometimes our thinking is so messed up. Sometimes the devil just controls our whole day by just putting thoughts in our head. Lord, help us to put more of the Word of God in our brain. Help us to meditate more upon your Word and your ways. Help us to find ourselves confessing even those evil and bad thoughts. Lord, I pray today that you'll show us the needs of our life. Help us make right decisions. Thank you for what you do for us. In Christ's name, amen.